Again, enter your gracious presence as congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, his body, to pray through the power of his Holy Spirit. And a good thing it is too, for we're not always so good at it, and we need your help. Often words and memory fail. We don't know how to pray. And we understand so well the words of your disciples, Lord, teach us how to pray. But then your Spirit nudges us and reminds us your Father in heaven wants to hear from you. And I will carry those prayers before him, and in Jesus' name, he will both hear and answer. Lord, what a privilege then, as we imperfect people have your ear, as it were. We lay before you the needs of our little congregation, the needs also of our guests who are here this morning, in the confidence that you indeed will hear and will answer. We pray for those who are here this morning simply seeking rest and encouragement after a long week. Those who felt in the past days the burdens of work or illness. Those who care for others. Those who face decisions or even crises that were not so easy, stressors that maybe others don't even know about. We pray, Lord, for all those that we do know about. We pray for Anne O'Brien. She is recovering. For Ish, for Hank Kunst, for my wife Diane, for Dirk Romkema, for Joanne as she is recovering, for Betty Molinar, whose journey will be a long one. We thank you that we can pray. And even when we do forget some names sometimes, we are all known to you, and we are in your hands, and you do care. Lord, we pray for grace and strength in our lives, and the lives of those who just need to feel connected to your power, as it were. And Lord, we certainly know the need for encouragement, refreshment, and renewal. That pretty well includes all of us, all members of your family at Fellowship. Lord, listen especially to the prayers that lie unspoken in our hearts today. You know us. Grant each of us what we need. And then, Father, we also pray for our community, people around us who need you just as much as we do. Bless the work of all who reach out into that community. We think of Mark, our pastor, of Jesse as he does that wonderful work of coffee break. We think of all the volunteers whose time and energy are given to show your love and care, making friends and contacts. Bless their work. We pray for our province and our country as well. Will you give wisdom and an empathic spirit to those who are entrusted with authority over others as they need to deal this very moment with native rights and concerns. Lord, may it lead to reconciliation and justice for all. We pray for an end to school strikes and a spirit there too of reconciliation and fairness in labor relations. Bless our Prime Minister and his cabinet, our parliaments, that they may receive the wisdom to do good and govern as stewards in a way that proves to be a blessing to our country and to other nations. And as we worship you, as we read your word and hear it explained and proclaimed, will you be there in such a way that ears and hearts are open to your will, and that having been hearers, we also may be doers of your world in this planet where people are often afraid of the coronavirus, where people and countries feel trapped by quarantines, where there are issues ongoing all the time in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, in so many places. Lord, as we hear your word and do your word, may we prove to be a salting salt. And now as we prepare to give our gifts to you, it is only fitting that we pray for a blessing over the work of Resonate Global Ministries, and more specifically for a blessing over Kathy Vanderkloot, your good and faithful servant in Nigeria. May she know herself supported by our prayers and our gifts. And will you, Lord, prosper her in her ministry and her personal life? We ask all this in Jesus' name and in the strength of the Holy Spirit and the confidence of being heard. Amen.
Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. So ends the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Chapter 6, the verses 17 through 26. He, Jesus, came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. And the words of our text will be 20 through 23. But we'll continue reading to the end of that section. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich. You have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now. You will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Thus the reading of the Word of God. People of God, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, I guess the Sermon on the Mount is the first and probably the greatest example of the proclamation of the kingdom of God. And when you read Matthew 5 through 7, where you find a much fuller account of that sermon, you might understand why some people have sought to find the meaning of this magnificent sermon in rules and ethics that Jesus supposedly presented. I think that would be a serious mistake. It would really be a selling short of both the Sermon on the Mount and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven does not consist, first of all, in a new ethic or a new morality or a new set of rules and laws. It consists, first and foremost, in the sovereignty of the King, Jesus Christ, and his absolute power to both bless and save and to judge. And therefore, the Beatitudes, as they're called, precede and introduce the Sermon on the Mount. In those Beatitudes, the King himself pronounces the blessedness of his subjects. Blessed are these and these and these people. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about blessing. Blessings. You know, the whole notion of blessings is such a complex and very often misunderstood one. I think you'll agree right away when I say you can't bless yourself. And you shouldn't be all that upset when other people don't pronounce you blessed. There are, of course, people who would like to pronounce the entire world blessed, because after all, God is love, right? But they forget that nobody is blessed and nobody can be envied when they reject the love of God. For sure, God is love. But precisely because he is that, because he is love, there is no blessedness apart from that divine love. Look at it this way. You should really pity a person, a man or a woman, when they experienced a lack of love growing up. You can feel sorry about how that shaped them or maybe even warped their character, stunted them. They did not have love. How can you congratulate a person then who wishes to live outside of and apart from the love of God? What does that do to a person? Doesn't benefit us to say to people, well, it's not so bad. It'll all pan out in the end. You're all good people. God is love. I could get rather mad when an unqualified person would say to a seriously ill patient, I congratulate you on your health. Boy, you look good today. Everything will be fine. Misleading could even be dangerous. Only a qualified physician, doctor, after carefully examining a person, looking at test results, can reach that kind of conclusion. Doesn't congratulate everybody on their great health when they walk into his office. That would be malpractice. Which brings us to the great physician, Jesus. He is the only one qualified and the only one authorized to pronounce both blessed in God's name and, as you read in our section, woe unto you. So I guess we better listen to him. Who does Jesus declare blessed? But by the way, just parenthetically, there are some people, of course, who would love to present themselves as judges and are very quick to hurl a woe unto you at those they feel worthy of their condemnation. We live in a funny world. We should always be very careful neither to include or exclude people from God's kingdom based on our often biased and superficial judgment. Jesus the King, he determines who is blessed and who is part of the kingdom of heaven. So who are they? That brings us rapidly to the heart of the matter. And that is, well, the sermon title. God's great surprise. And the great surprise is that we, you and I, would never congratulate so quickly the people that Jesus congratulates. Don't you think that we would make up a totally different list of people who are to be envied, congratulated, to be called blessed. Certainly not the poor, the hungry, the ones who mourn, the hated, the excluded, the rejected. It's already a surprise that when God visits this world, does not pronounce a woe unto you as a devastating judgment on the entire planet that forsook him, left him, and went its own way. Well, it's doubly surprising that he pronounces blessed those of all people who, according to human superficial measures and human standards of happiness, are on the wrong side of that definition. The poor, the hungry, those who shed tears, those who are persecuted, the lonely, they are the ones who hear the word, blessed are you. Who are they then? Well, you may first of all want to note their totally pitiful condition in this world. The poor in society, those who are oppressed by circumstances, the one who hunger for justice, the righting of wrongs, the hated, those who long for a just world and a righteous king. But for a complete picture, you may want to add, they are not only poor, but humble of spirit, not only mourning, but also gentle and mild. They don't only thirst for righteousness, but they also pray for peace. They're a strange lot, strange people, hurt, but not embittered, persecuted, but not rebellious, mourning, but not without hope. And all that is not a question of character. It is a question of their faith and trust in God. They are the ones who await the future God will bring, the coming of his royal rule, his kingdom, and his king. And therefore, they don't repay evil with evil or try to avenge themselves. No, they wait on the king. They wait for the promised one, the one spoken of by the Psalms and the prophets, placing their hope and trust in him. Because would you please note this morning, people often overlook this, that everything Jesus says in these Beatitudes are practically direct quotes from the Old Testament. In other words, Jesus is saying nothing new. From time immemorial, God's blessings were pronounced over all who trusted in his promises, in his coming kingdom, and his great king, the Son of David, who would bring his glorious kingdom. Yes, God's blessings over those who did not rely on wealth, did not rely on power, did not rely on status, comfort, or the praise of others. Blessed are those who look to the Lord. We heard it already loud and clear in the Jeremiah reading. And now this blessedness has become a reality. What does Jesus say? Lo, the kingdom of God is in your midst. He is standing right before you, the king. And the sick are healed, storms are calmed, water turns into wine, demons are cast out, lights are turned on in a dark world. He is the king. In many respects, still hidden, he says of himself, I am meek and lowly in heart, a suffering servant, not a place to lay his head, despised and rejected of men, nailed to a cross. Yet he was blessed. delivering the world from sin, leading it back to God, so that all who believe in him will not perish, but inherit eternal life. He is the one who said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Cast your burdens on me. Blessed are you, you who are poor but find your wealth in God. You who mourn but open your hearts to the Comforter. My Holy Spirit, you who hunger for righteousness, why didn't you receive mine as though it were your own? And you who are despised and rejected, come follow me. Rejoice, for your reward will be great." You know, it's very understandable that you and I would feel ourselves blessed when we are healthy, fit, successful, appreciated by others. Then we even mention God as part of our sentence. "It is all blessings from him," we'll say. And that's true, of course. But also, only consider this. When our feeling blessed would be solely, exclusively, only be based on the pleasant and successful side of life, then that blessing would be so vulnerable, subject to loss, and also, I guess, shallow and not especially Christian. It is easy, no great shakes, no great feat, to congratulate the successful and the prosperous in life. But it is exclusively God's great feat, his divine surprise, to congratulate the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the persecuted of this world. It's as though another world opens up, a world which is foreign to those who are not born of the Spirit, who are not born again. Someone once said, in the world of the Beatitudes, "This world is turned upside down." And that's true. In a real profound sense, heaven is the reverse of this present world. I could say it more clearly, more precisely, maybe. Through sin and your entering into this world, into our planet, the world was turned upside down. Not God, but the devil. Working through men and women, he became the pretend king. And now the real king, King Jesus, turns that world right side up again. He flips that which was turned upside down. He restores. And where he is king, normal relationships and normal dimensions of human life may return. There we may find peace, rest, and harmony. The turning around of values and relationships in a world broken and distorted by sin, at first that may feel odd, strange, surprising. Normal may seem abnormal at first because we had started to find the abnormal so normal. Whether it is labor strife as a given, disharmony between employers and employees, well, what can you expect? Or the sexualization of our society, how did we ever get so used to that? Or marital strife, the battle of the sexes, inequality between men and women, both created in the image of God, needing each other to make that image complete. What have we done to all that? What have we begun to find normal? Or the defiling of creation for the sake of progress and material gain. Or the defiling and degrading of human speech by lips that effortlessly spew a constant stream of profanities. And you don't even have to be a teenager yet before you start doing that. And how normal that has become. Or you could just make long lists. All the things, we could speak about it all day long, the abnormalities that have become normal in this world today. Good subject to discuss in your faith group meetings. But when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you begin to follow the King and listen to his voice, turning things right side up again, you may be overwhelmed by God's surprise. And soon you'll be saying, yes, that's the way it should be. That's the way it ought to be. That's the path to wholeness and blessedness, to newness of life. Lord, thank you for showing me the way and help me. Because I'm so unaccustomed to it yet. Help me to follow you. Teach me more and more to hunger and thirst for righteousness and live that out in this real world. Teach me a sensitivity that mourns for the brokenness of this world and that seeks to engage in your work of healing, that teaches me anger at a graveside against the brokenness in this world. Teach me to share your surprise of the reassurance that all things are being and will be completely turned right side up again. This world that you so loved that in your great mercy you gave your Son, Jesus Christ. Well, no wonder that Jesus proclaims those blessed who hunger and thirst for the original and ultimately normal relationship to God. A blessedness that lasts in good times and in bad, in prosperity, for which we certainly may thank God, but also in adversity, in sickness and in health, under all circumstances, resting in Him, our King. And we may walk with Him in newness of life. Once more, children of the Heavenly Father, surprised by joy, giving living testimony to the old, new normal, until that great day dawns when the King will rule from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth, and all things will be new. Amen. Lord, we thank you that we have your promise and that we have received by your grace our King. Train us more and more through your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to follow him, to heal what is broken, to turn right side up what was upside down. Lord, help us to rejoice in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.